So this week, we're on week 24. So maybe we could read the title together. A practical
living in oneness with the Lord and a time of Christ marrying the church.
Okay, can we read that again?
Practical living in oneness with the Lord and a time of Christ marrying the church.
Amen. So there's two main things throughout this week. So let's read point one in the outline. The primary
point in Genesis 24 is the practical living in oneness with the Lord for fulfilling of God's purpose.
So I think most of us are probably familiar with the story in Genesis 24. So Abraham tells his servant to go and to get a wife for his son Isaac. And so then the servant goes, and he goes to, and he says, don't get it out of the inhabitants of this land. We have to go back to his land and get a wife. So his servant goes, and then he's at the well, or he goes to the city, and then he goes to a well, and then he prays to the Lord. And before he actually finishes his prayer, someone comes. And so then that person actually meets the requirements of his prayer, and he sees that this is the one whom the Lord had brought for him to bring back to Abraham's son, Isaac.
Amen.
So, and then the rest of that is, I guess we'll probably see a little bit of, but, the Rebecca, who is the, who would be the wife of Isaac, she's very willing, and so she goes out of that land to someone she had never seen before, and to come and marry Isaac. So, let's read point one. I think I never read. All right. The primary point in Genesis 24
is the practical living in oneness with the Lord for the fulfilling of God's purpose.
Amen. Point A. Abraham's living was a practical living in oneness with the Lord. And then could we read point one?
Although there is no record of God telling Abraham to take a wife for his son from his own country, Abraham had this understanding. It came from his living in accordance with God's concept. Because Abraham lived in oneness with God, he knew God's will and mind and acted in accordance with God's inner feeling.
So there's actually a verse that I was really impressed by. It's verse 40. It says, "And he said to me, Jehovah before whom I walk." So Abraham was one who actually had a walk before the Lord.
Amen.
His whole, I was just reminded of, in Galatians, we walk in the Spirit, walk Amen. By the Spirit. So we have a walk, a living.
Amen.
But Abraham's living, it's referring to his living in accordance with God's concept. So God had said, I will give you a seed, and him all the nations will be blessed. So he knew that through his son was Isaac, and Isaac would have to be multiplied, and so he would have to have a wife.
Amen.
And so in seeking a wife, actually you see just a very sweet story in Genesis 24 that's just in complete oneness with God.
Amen.
So, but this is because he had this walk with God.
Amen. Amen.
So, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe we could read points 4 and 5.
Amen.
So sisters on 4.
Abraham moved in accordance with God's economy. What he did in obtaining a wife for Isaac was for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose.
Amen. Brothers.
The primary thing revealed in Genesis 24 is the practical living in accordance with God's economy for the carrying out of his eternal purpose. We need a life resembling that of Abraham. His motive, his action, and everything he did were in accordance with God's economy.
Amen.
Actually, I was going through this. One of the references in that point is 1 Samuel 4:3. And so that's referring to when the children of Israel, it says the elders, they were getting defeated by the Philistines. And so what they did was, we want the Lord to lead us to victory. So we're going to take the ark and take it out with us to battle. And so this was against the Lord's will. The Lord did not command them to take the ark. And what it represented was them usurping God and trying to use him for their own purposes. And what happened was, you know, they were completely defeated. They lost the ark. And so it was a very negative situation. And I was just considering, you know, Abraham, you know, his walk before the Lord, it was obviously, it was one that was able to be, you know, to be used by the Lord. And all the characters throughout, you know, they're all one who are just with the Lord. I was like, Lord, how do you have this type of oneness? And so there was a part of the footnote in 1 Samuel 4:3. It talks about how the children of Israel had no heart for the Lord, and they had no desire for his economy. So we need to be those who have a heart for the Lord. We need to have a heart for his economy. And even that our living, you know, it's not that, okay, Lord, I'm going to live, you know, it's not some outward thing we're doing. It's just we really need to have a heart for the Lord. A heart that our living would be in line with his economy. Because, you know, the title of this week is A Practical Living in Oneness with the Lord. So we all need this type of living that's really one with the Lord.
Yes.
So maybe we can read point B. Abraham's Lord's servant was faithful in responsibility. So actually, yeah, I won't get into it too much, but his prayer that he made to the Lord, there was just... it was just very sweet. It's kind of a, you know, it's a simple prayer, but it says, you know, and immediately, before he finished speaking, he saw Rebecca. Now, I think we all have this kind of experience sometimes, you know, when we're praying to the Lord, and we're really, you know, let go of our own seeking, and we're seeking the Lord's heart, and we're, you know, seeking his economy. It's just like, we don't even try and do anything, and immediately, the Lord comes in, and he's able to have his desire obtained. And so it's just a really sweet picture. Okay, so sisters on point C.
Rebecca was chaste, fine, and diligent. She was also absolute in her decision to take Isaac as her husband, and was submissive to Isaac. As such, she is an excellent type of the church as I are, the wife of Christ.
Amen. Brothers on D. Laban and Bethuel were in fear of the Lord.
They were also very hospitable.
Sisters on E.
Isaac was meditating in the field to seek the Lord. After the servant told Isaac all that had happened, Isaac took what his father had done for him and married Rebecca. His marriage eventually fulfilled the purpose of God.
Amen. Also, can we all read point F?
The lie about those in Genesis 24 was not merely for their own human living. It was a lie that issued in the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose, a lie that brought forth Christ and produced the kingdom of God or God's economy. Thus, in the gaining of a wife or Isaac, everything was done according to God's economy to bring forth Christ for the producing of the kingdom of God.
So my prayer is just we will have a life that's issuing in the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. So we need this practical living, actually. Don't really have time to get into it, but all the Abraham, Rebecca, Laban, Isaac, the servant, all these had such a oneness with the Lord. It's remarkable. And quickly, so the second half is talking about the type of marriage of Christ. Type of Christ marrying the church. Sorry. So maybe we could read point two, and then the main point. Sorry.
Genesis 24, there is an account of the marriage of Isaac with four main persons. Abraham typifies God the Father. Isaac typifies God the Son. The servant typifies God the Spirit. And Rebecca typifies the chosen people of God, who will marry his son and become his counterpart.
Sisters on A.
Eternity past, God the Father had an eternal purpose, an eternal plan to gain the church as body for his son out of the human race.
Amen. Brothers, can we read point B?
In time, God the Father commissioned God the Spirit,
sent him on an errand to carry out the Father's plan by going to reach and contact a chosen bride and bring her to God the Son to be his counterpart, his wife. Amen. So I think these 2 points summarize pretty well this time. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We read point 3 on the next page.
Just as Rebecca was convinced by the servant to marry Isaac, the Spirit attracts us to Christ and calls us to love him whom we have not seen.
Amen. And then point 4.
The Spirit is bringing us to Christ as his lovely bride.
Amen.
So,
hallelujah.
Yeah, I think maybe open it up for all that. All this decision.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So this week have two main point. Right? The first one is practical living when with the Lord, right? To fulfillment of his purpose, for his eternal purpose. So it's practical living. And the second point is type, the showing. Trying God work together to gain for the bride, gain the bride for Christ. I think most Christian, if we have a little bit pursuing, we probably know the second part, right? There's a type of Christ and the church. Revealed in Genesis 24. And, but this week I really touched by this first point. And actually, to have the second point, the fulfillment of the second point, actually need a group of people to have that kind of practical living, one with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I just want to read some message from the training, and I really enjoy to you. The brother in the training actually tell us, you know, why we are able to live such a practical living, you know, in one with the Lord. It's because just like we need to be transformed, just like Abraham. Go through so many, you know, things during his whole life. Eventually, he learned the lesson how to cooperate with the Lord. And just like our brothers mentioned earlier, I really enjoy this verse also. That's in day 2. How about we read together? This Genesis 24, verse 40, day 2, first verse. Let's read together.
And he said to me, Jehovah, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you, and make your journey prosperous. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family, even from my father's house.
And these four words, before whom I walk, so precious.
Amen.
I think why would I think about what does it mean, before whom I walk. So I think definitely not we walk before the Lord, right? Behind us. It's actually, I think it's saying when we walk, we always have the Lord.
Amen.
Right in front of us.
Amen.
So He's our leading.
Yeah.
So then we can be in one place with Him.
Amen.
And it's not just of course, in our daily living, we need to practice, we need to exercise to be one with the Lord.
Amen.
And in this process, we will be transformed.
Amen.
And that become that our daily living.
Amen.
Not just, you know, by random, that sometimes we just be reminded we need to walk before Him.
Amen.
But without this practice, exercise daily, we won't be able to reach like Abraham. When he matured in his life, he can really have this kind of prayer living all the time. So the brother in the training just told us, he used 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. There's a verse talking about Paul forgiving a brother. And in forgiving a brother in the person of Christ.
Mm. Mm.
And there it said the person, the word actually originally said the face. So Paul forgiving a brother is in the face of Christ.
Mm.
Meaning when he forgave, he do everything, he just, before he did it, he looked at the face of Christ.
Amen.
And even there's a footnote, it says the face originally refers to the part around the eyes, the look as the index of the inward thought and the feelings. So Paul has kind of living, whatever he did, he looked at the, you know, eyes around, you know, our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And that is why Abraham or Paul or so many saints have a mature life. They can really walk before the Lord.
Amen.
And also use Philippians 2:5, he said, Paul also said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Paul actually as all the saints need to have the same mind as Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And how can we have the mind of Christ Jesus? I cannot have a mind of any other person, right? I cannot have a mind of Cole or Benjamin or Shepherd or Sister Ruth. But only when I really be transformed into that person, that I have the same mind.
Amen.
So this is really a very critical point. And the last thing I want to touch is in the message, the brother actually used a message from Brother Lee. He said, how can we be transformed and have such kind of living? There's two things very important. That's the spirit and the word.
Amen.
Only we take care in our daily life, we take care our spirit, and we take care the word.
Amen.
That means we always turn to our spirit, and we always, you know, read the word, and the word and the spirit lead us.
Amen.
Then there's a possibility, you know, we can be transformed day by day.
Amen.
And we're living a practical living.
One wisdom. Amen.
I was really encouraged with this week's message concerning the practical living of oneness with the Lord and the type of Christ marrying the church. I was encouraged with what was shared concerning the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose and God's economy concerning Christ marrying the church. And in the tree, the F says the life of those in Genesis 24 was not merely for their own human living. It was a life that issued in the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose, a life that brought forth Christ and produced the kingdom of God for God's economy. Thus, in the beginning of the wife for Isaac, everything was done according to God's economy to bring forth Christ for the producing of the kingdom of God. And I said, Lord, we thank you for this process in Genesis 24.
Amen.
To bring Christ forth for the producing of the kingdom of God. And therefore, I also enjoy concerning in eternity past, God made a plan, and this plan was to have a church for Christ. God's plan is to have a bride for his son. Further on, it shared that as we have seen, God the Father planned to take a bride for his son out of the human race. Abraham, a type of the Father, charged his servant, a type of the Holy Spirit, not to take a wife for his son and daughter of the Canaanites, but from Abraham's kindred. In typology, this indicates that the counterpart of Christ must come from Christ's race,
Amen.
Not from angels nor from any other creature. Since Christ was incarnated as a human living, as a man, humanity has become his race. And this part, really, I was really encouraged with this part. Humanity has become Christ's race. Because humanity is the race of Christ, it is dear and precious to God.
Amen.
Only out of humanity can God obtain the counterpart for his son. And I just thank the Lord for his grace and his encouragement concerning the Lord. Humanity is the race of Christ, and as believers, we will become Christ's bride.
Amen.
And Lord, you came not only to be our Savior, but our bridegroom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was captured by the word living.
Amen.
In my Christian life, I never I paid less attention to my living.
Amen.
Instead, I paid a lot of attention to what I'm doing for Lord.
Amen.
And what I'm going to do for Lord.
Amen.
But this message really, really touched me that our living, actually our daily living, has a great influence on Lord's eternal purpose.
Amen.
But we have a daily living in oneness with God's oneness with God,
mm-hmm.
actually determines when we can bring Lord back.
Amen.
And this week we have some newly moved in brothers.
Amen.
And I spent a lot of time talking with them.
Amen.
But not about the Bible or the economy of God, but about the politics and their majors and their daily living.
Amen.
But one day when I was reading the Bible, the book of 1 Timothy, let me read this to you. The first book of Timothy 6:20. Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit, turning away from profane, vain babblings and oppositions from what is falsely called knowledge.
Amen.
I was enlightened by this verse.
Amen.
And Lord was shining on me that in the past days, I spent lots of time talking with the brothers, but that's nothing to do with God's eternal purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Just bubbling and talking about usefulness words with the brothers. And I began to pre-read these words. And I found this I began to pre-read these words. And Lord said to me, oh, Benjamin, guard the deposits, turning away from profane vain babblings and opposite from what is falsely called knowledge. And this was became his life to me. That I came to Lord and repent to him. That I, oh Lord, I'm a talking person. I just can't hold myself to not talking with the brothers. But I need you, Lord. I mean, the next day, when I meet the brothers,
I just simply, as the brother said, just simply turn to my spirit and pray to Lord. Oh Lord, what I'm talking with the brothers must be in accordance with your economy.
Amen.
Then I become, this happened, then I become quiet. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
What I want to say is that our daily living have great influence on God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
And we must pay attention to our daily living, whether we live in brother's house or sister's house. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I said earlier I will read some paragraph to you. I forgot. How about when you were preparing, I just read a few.
Amen.
He said, the way of renewing lies in prayer and in reading the scriptures. Because for us to be renewed in our mind is for us to get rid of all our old concepts.
Amen.
Concerning the things in human life. And be made new again by the teaching of the Holy Scripture and the enlightening of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And later on he said, I believe that word put God's concept into our minds.
Amen.
And should be working in us to renew our minds.
Amen.
I need to be renewed
with the teaching of the Holy Scriptures and with the enlightening of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When we read the Bible and become familiar with it, the Holy Spirit is able to enlighten us and guide us with the Word.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit enlightens us as we are praying and reading the Word day by day, our mind is being changed from the old to the new.
Amen.
Thus, our view becomes different and our being is renewed.
Amen.
So I actually give you a very short testimony. This week, early this week, actually, I was a little bit, it's pretty much pretty bothered by some environment of mine. But Tuesday, when I read that, it's really a salvation to me.
Amen.
Say, we need, you know, Abraham walk before the Lord.
Amen.
So, with this word, you know, the Lord remind me, you just, what you need, just walk before me.
Amen.
Don't worry about that many things.
Amen.
And when I turn, praise the Lord, I think everything just changed.
Amen.
You know, my heart changed, and the thing I worry about was making progress. And praise the Lord, not totally settled yet, but I think that's God's wisdom.
Amen.
I know if the Lord have taken care that completely, I probably forgot to walk before him again. So I just got reminded every day, the first thing I really need to take care of is to walk before God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I really appreciate the paragraph that Brother read to us. Actually, I like to share a little of my personal experience. The Lord really blessed me. I was born and raised in the Lord's recovery. And I remember when I was in college, the brothers, we were just reading the life study of Genesis. And actually, we read this paragraph, and at that time, you know, I was in my junior years in college. The brothers served us, actually pointed this very sweet paragraph out to us and said, you young ones, when you were considering your marriage, you need to turn to the Lord. You need to just love the Lord and let the Lord guide you and consecrate yourself to the Lord. And, you know, just love him with your whole being. And then the brothers also pointed this verse out. I believe it's second Corinthians 2:9. It says, things which are which eyes has not seen, and ears have not heard, and which have not come up in man's heart, things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
I really appreciate the way the brothers put those verses together. And though in this paragraph, in this Genesis 24, you didn't see much about what Rebecca did. But she lived out something, I think, because, you know, Rebecca signifies the church. And that's actually most related to us, because the rest, you know, Abraham, the father, the servant, the Holy Spirit, really we don't have much control over. But as Rebecca, you know, this, you know, we're her church, right? We're all part of Rebecca. I just like to share a little personal experience with you. And because of those words, that really changed my concept at that very important period of my life. And I remember at that time, I just went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to spend some time, my most precious time with you every day, because I love you, because I want to just focus on you. And I want to forget about all my futures, my career, my marriage, whatever. I said, Lord, I just want to love you. And that really changed me. And then the words that I read at that time, you know, the Bible verses that I read at that time, really just, you know, shined in me. And, you know, when I consecrated myself to the Lord said, you're consecrating your everything to me. I said, yes, Lord, everything. And every decision, yes, Lord, every decision. And then the Lord even touched me. Even your marriage, the choice of your marriage. I said, yes, Lord, I have no choice of my own. I trust you. I love you. And you're the one who knows, you know, human's heart. You're the one who knows what I need. Lord, I trust you in everything. And I said, Lord, I just want to love you. And that verse just kept coming up. And I said, Lord, though I don't think I deserve, you know, something that's so wonderful that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, even haven't come up in my heart. But Lord, if that will help me to love you more, I would appreciate that. And, you know, through that sweet fellowship and the reading of the Bible, you know, the Lord really put me in a very secure position. Let me put it this way. Just very safe and very at ease. You know, I did not worry about anything. I just said, Lord, I just want to, you know, love you. And the Lord sent a servant. Just so, you know, and then, you know, I realized, I said, Lord, I trust you in everything. I don't trust my own eyes. I don't trust my own judgment. I said, Lord, I trust you. And since my husband is sitting there, so I think I have proper coverage. And so a servant, you know, showed up and said, you know, we pray for you. I pray for you and fellowship with some sisters. We have a brother in mind for you. Why don't you pray about it? And when the sister mentioned the name, well, truly enough, I never know this person. I never heard this person. Never seen this person. And of course, never in my mind. I said, wow. I said, Lord, you really fulfilled the prayer. But, you know, because of the sweet fellowship and such an intimate fellowship with the Lord, in my heart, though I never saw this person, know this person, whatever, but I have that peace from the Lord. I knew this is from the Lord. And especially, it's also from the body, you know, well, you know, through the serving ones. And through the process, I just realized, you know, the Lord just, because there are so many things that we can say, we can do. But, you know, saints, the best thing to do is really just to love Him. Just to give yourself to the Lord. And we often feel like we need to do something ourselves. We need to do this, we need to do that. But you know what? The number one thing we should do and we really need to do is to love Him. Amen. Give ourselves to the Lord. Amen. And have a life that's before the Lord. And it's so sweet. You see how Abraham's living affected his servant. And of course, this servant was blessed because he was Abraham's oldest servant. That means he spent the longest time with Abraham. So he was almost, we can say, he was transformed also, right? Because he had Abraham's heart. Whatever Abraham wanted, he knew exactly what his master wanted. And he knew how to rely on God just as his master did. Right. So he prayed. And even when he spoke to Laban, that was such a testimony. When he spoke to Laban, he said, "Yo, I'm not eating before I tell you what I'm coming here for." Right? And he testified how his master lived before God. And he said, my master and the God of my master, Abraham. You know, the way he even knew such an intimacy between God and Abraham. You know, God was not just a God. He's God of my master, Abraham. And this was such a sweet testimony. You see, his servant got truly transformed through his living. And so he was such a trustworthy servant, right? That's how he could fulfill Abraham's command, right? Abraham said, you know, I trusted you. I want you to do this for me. And sure, he did. And Abraham definitely, throughout the years that he, you know, I don't know, maybe he trained the servant, but the servant truly got transformed. Amen. And then so the way he carried out Abraham's will, it's just so wonderful. So now we can see that the servant was the, you know, it's signifying the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is absolutely one with the Father's will. And so anyway, I just want to, you know, say, want to encourage everyone, you know, every word in the Bible can be experienced. Amen. Every you know, every point in here that we mentioned here, saints, can be our enjoyment.
Amen.
And what we need to do, I just pray, as a Lord, I want to be loving you, just with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my being. You know, when we love the Lord, He takes care of everything.
Amen.
He will do the best for us, for His purpose,
Amen.
Not for our purpose,
Amen.
For His desire. Praise the Lord.
Enjoying that Abraham just walked before the Lord. And sometimes we, when we have some situation, we just want to pray and fasting and praying to seek Lord's will. But Abraham did not suddenly have a dream and have a vision that Rebecca will appear. But Abraham just, you know, his living, just his normal living, just walk before the Lord. So he's very peaceful and he has presence of the Lord. So he know Lord's heart and he know God's economy. Not only Abraham has this heart, but also Abraham didn't tell his servant that Abraham didn't choose a servant who's very smart, who is very clever, but he just tell the servant that you know, you need to walk and you need to trust the Lord. So the servant just like Abraham, the servant know God's heart. So everything happens, and I really enjoy in the day six, the verse in 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen you love, into whom though not seeing him at present,
Amen.
Yet believing you exult with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
I really enjoy this verse that I think most of all of us haven't seen the Lord physically, but why we can love the Lord so much,
right.
Why we can praise Him and enjoy Him every day. That is because the Spirit has brought all the riches of Lord into our hearts, into our spirit. So I really enjoy, you know, Rebecca is a girl who is very brave. I think right now, nowadays, there's few lady will like marry to a man never seen before. So why Rebecca can have this faith? Because Spirit already has brought all the riches of Christ to the bride.
Amen.
So today, Spirit also brought all the riches of Christ to us.
Amen.
So we can testify that although we haven't seen the Lord, but we love Him.
Amen.
And we feel so enjoyable.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit.
Amen.
And chapter, the week, day four, it really struck me when I saw these types, right? And remind me of this student I have yesterday. And I've been giving some messages because she's Hindu, she was born Hindu. She's about 33 years old. For probably about 5 months, she's been training with me. And here's a message. She liked to hear when she asked me about sometimes about the Lord and this. But she's still, you know, she's still not coming. I've been invited to the meeting hall. But she said, oh, you gotta call me. Okay, you gotta remind me. She keeps telling me that. I said, okay, okay. And then yesterday she told me, Sergio, I met somebody online. I met somebody, and I think he's the right one. First, she told me that. And then I said, really? Yeah, I want you to tell me. I want you to give me an advice. I said, really? But I met him online. I don't know him personally. I said, wow, like, how are you doing? I said, how are you doing this? You have to come to the church. Like, I said to her, you have to come to the come with me on Friday. Yeah, I'm gonna come. I want to meet him. I want to see. Tell me what you think. I said, I can't tell you. And I said to her, yeah, come to the church lab, and the Lord will tell you what to do. He'll choose the husband that you want for you. And I said, and when it reminded me this, when I was reading, you know, right now people are actually getting online to try to get married. You know, now online this is all over. These companies that they look for a husband, for a wife, for people to get in touch. And it's really very sad to see the people looking for a companion, right? And this brother was saying that they asked this president of Harvard, that this brother was saying, sharing that, what is the most, with your experience, what's most young people really seek for? And he said, to belong. So everybody would like to be loved, or to be with somebody. And this is what happened in the world. People feel so lonely right now. They keep going to the internet to find somebody. And this touched me a lot because when I was saved, I think I gave him a testimony last time. Yeah? And after I was saved, I was in a denomination for many years. I was doing a lot of things for God, without God. I didn't know him, but I was doing a lot of things for God. The Lord didn't want me only to save me, but he wanted me to come to full salvation. So until I came to the ministry, I realized the second part of salvation, right? But I never listened to the Holy Spirit. I had a lot of life, but I never listened to the anointing of the Spirit for many years. You know, I was very strong still. You know, this is what happened with a lot of Christians. Even though all Christians outside our family are brothers, we had to pray for them. But I like my mama. You know, I wanted to do what I want. Many years until I came to the ministry, and I see the Lord, and I see more every day. Mm-hmm. But this really touched me a lot. This type of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we need to really listen to the anointing of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You see, in the Old Testament was the prophets, right? It was the commandment. But now we have the law of life and the anointing. But the Spirit is always there. My son, my kids, we must listen to that voice and obey it. Sometimes I don't want to do my own will, but I always pray and say, Lord, help me to do your will, not my will. Okay? And this really touched me that we have this life, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit inside of us.
Amen. You
know? And it's very sweet to receive this week because I've been telling this lady, you know, pray, come with me. She said she's going to come with me on Friday. That's what she told me. Friday, I'm going to the meeting hall with you. So pray for that. Hopefully, you know, many people outside can see what we see.
Amen.
Pray for that.
Amen. Does anyone have something to share? I think we have time for a few more.
Amen. I really enjoyed in day 5. That says that a lot of times we just say that we need to enjoy the Lord as living water to quench our thirst, and that's true. But actually, also, like God or the Holy Spirit, right here it says the Holy Spirit is also like needs His thirst quenched, right? Mm-hmm. And that's by us, and so we need to quench. We need to quench God's thirst, right? Mm. And so, right, we see in Genesis 24 that, right, actually, Rebecca wasn't the one who asked for water, right? It was actually, the servant, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who signifies the Holy Spirit that asked for water.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed in Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 12, and then verse 15. It says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my bride. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed.
Wow.
And then verse 15 is says, a fountain in gardens, a well of living water,
Amen.
And streams from Lebanon.
Amen.
So actually, right, verse 15, right, and then we see in, sorry, I'm like a mess right now in my mind. In John chapter 7, right, verse 38, I think, or 37, right, it says, right, who, like, right, if anyone comes to this, something, I can't think of it now, sorry. I need to go to the end of that verse. Yeah, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.
Amen.
And then verse 38 says, he who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being, right, shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
Right, so if we enjoy the Lord, right, out of our innermost being, we'll flow living water, right?
Amen.
And then, right, the fountain sealed, right, in the spring shut up in Song of Songs 4:12, right, means that we need to have this fountain sealed for Christ's private enjoyment, right?
Amen.
So Christ can, right? Christ can enjoy us, and we can satisfy Him,
yeah.
Right? And then verse 16 says, right, also that we're a garden, right? And we want, right, the Lord to come onto our garden,
Amen.
Right, and blow on our garden so that He can enjoy, like the fragrance of the spices,
Amen.
And so. Right, there's that saying, like, a happy wife makes, like, a happy, like, husband or something along that lines, right? And so in the same way, like, if we're not enjoying Christ, right, then God's not really satisfied, right? God's not really happy because we're enjoying other things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not enjoying God, right, He can't enjoy us as the fountain of living waters.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we experience Christ, the more experience Him, the more we enjoy Him day by day, moment by moment, then that means the more, right, Christ can come. Well, that means the more, right, we will have fountains of living water, and we'll be flowing more out of our innermost beings, right? And then, right, Christ can come into us, right, as the garden, and He can come and enjoy, right, the living waters.
If you ask me what Genesis 24 is talking about,
of this journey that we've been taking in Genesis, I appreciate all the saints sharing, is to see that actually Genesis 24 is talking about oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you consider, actually the oneness is of different people, different parties. First of all, you see the Abraham and the servant, there's a certain kind of oneness there. And then there's a certain kind of oneness between the servant and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole point of it is that eventually Rebecca could be brought to Isaac,
Amen.
And be joined together in oneness.
Amen.
If I asked you, what's the purpose of marriage? What would you tell me? You could tell me a lot of different things. But from the Bible, actually, we see marriage is to what? Bring the man from his father and mother, bring him to his wife so that they could become one flesh. So God, He has this desire. Why? We don't know. But He desires to be one with man.
Amen.
And so He goes through this great journey to do that. Okay. I really, really enjoy Genesis 24. And I just want to point out a few things at the very end. You know, when the servant made his case, his relatives were clear about it. Actually, there's a certain point, and it says that that the brother and the mother says, well, you know, let Rebecca stay for, you know, just a few more days. But the servant said this, no, do not delay me, since Jehovah has made my journey prosperous. Send me away that I may go to my master.
Amen.
And this word really touched me this week. Delay. Delay. You know, God has prepared everything. He's done it all. If you look at the end, Isaac is just waiting. He's just patiently waiting. We're betrothed to Christ. That means we got engaged. You know, in the Western culture, there's two rings. The engagement ring and then the wedding ring. When you put on the engagement ring, that means you're engaged to that person, right? We're engaged to the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is waiting for that wedding day. You just consider, how long are we going to take to get ready for that wedding day? We can delay. And here, the servant is the Spirit. Many times, you check with your experience, we delay the Spirit from working. The Spirit wants to bring us to Isaac, but we delay. Okay, that's the first thing. And then, you know, I was fellowshipping with Scott, and I considered, actually, you go further on, right, when they finally left, actually, it's so marvelous. They sent Rebecca, their sister, and their nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. Okay, sorry, before that, it says, Rebecca, they wanted to ask Rebecca, right, will you go with this man?
Right.
And she said, I will go. Those three words. I will go. I will go. This touched me so much. Brothers and sisters, do we have that attitude? I will go.
Amen.
Lord, I will go to meet you.
Amen.
I want to take this journey.
Amen.
To become your bride.
Amen.
I will go. So there's a response, a willingness to go, to follow the servant.
Amen.
Okay. And Rebecca arose with her maids, and they rode on a camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went away. Okay, so from verse 61 to verse 62, actually, there's a long period of time. It's not written in the Word. And I was wondering, what was that journey like? And I thought to myself, one day when I meet Rebecca, I want to ask her, what was your journey like? You know, in the life studies, Burley says that, you know, God, the trying God, has gone through this journey. Right, and now everything is accomplished, right? And so, in a sense, that journey was kind of short. The long journey is us, okay? And so, okay, Eric, you stand up. You're Isaac, okay? Harry, you're the servant. You're the Spirit, okay? And I am Rebecca. And God sent the Spirit. Okay, by the way, the trying God is one. Okay, so actually, it's just one, but... You know, so don't think there are three gods.
Right.
So, what is your task? What is your task? I'm Rebecca.
I'm supposed to...
You're supposed to bring me. Yeah, okay. So bring me. Okay. So we're taking this journey, right? And I wonder, during this journey, did Rebecca ever get distracted or kind of wonder... Well, I've never seen this person before. Is this really the smartest thing to do? I mean, maybe she gets distracted. Maybe things come up in the environment. You know, back then, it's outlaws. I don't know. We should use our sanctified imagination. So maybe she gets distracted. And saints, check with your experience. We've been betrothed to the Lord. Sometimes things come up that distract us. Oh, the world. Oh, I need to start a family. I need to get that PhD. I need to make lots of money. What distracts us? Right. And so, as a Spirit, what do you need to do? Well, I hope the Spirit works a little faster. I'm being distracted. Okay. When we turn to our Spirit, the Spirit, right, reminds us. Remind me. And maybe it needs to remind us. Oh, you remember the bracelet and the ring? You remember all the riches? All the riches, right? He's so lovely. Maybe in that journey, the servant had to speak to Rebecca. I don't know. But I think in our experience, this is really the case. Right? We're taking this journey, saints. And sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we delay. But, you know, this verse is so precious. It says Rebecca followed the servant. It's not that Rebecca's trying to, you know, find her way. Like, where's I? Rebecca doesn't know. But all she has to do is follow the servant. The servant knows. All we need to do is follow the Spirit.
Amen.
We need to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
When we are in the Spirit, then we know.
Amen.
Right? I just need to follow the Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Spirit will take me to Isaac.
Amen.
And then just consider for yourself that day. You know, I don't have time, but it says when they first saw each other. There's really something special in these verses. You just consider, you know, like 1 Peter 1:8, whom we have never seen, right? Whom we love. But just imagine that finally that day, when that day comes, and you finally see the Lord face to face. How special that encounter. Brothers and sisters, you want to be there?
Amen.
That final wedding day? You know, it says at the evening. That means it's that day. It's that day. I can't tell you the story, but as a bridegroom, I was so anxiously awaiting for that day. You know, actually, I was in this position, right? And then when Esther came. Anyway, there's a whole story about that. But.